It's peak hour in China's capital. The afternoon rush has brought traffic on Beijing's six ring roads practically to a halt. While taxi drivers sit patiently listening to the radio, you quickly notice the quality of the cars around you. For the most part, they're high-end brands, the type you'd expect to see in any other international city. It's symptomatic of what's happening here in China. In the last year, officials have refused the registration of almost 500,000 cars in Beijing, with more expected to be deregistered. It's all part of the central government's push to cut emissions and improve air quality, particularly in the capital. But it's not just old cars that are being removed. Week by week, authorities are forcing the closure of high-emitting, out-of-date factories and demanding the use of higher-quality fuels. Associate Professor Sherry Tao Kong is an economist at Peking University.
Well, I think it's real. You can see there are genuine effort put in order to curb pollution, in order to provide a more greener energy and having very, very restrictive, very strong policy signals sending to the industry to have energy efficiency improved. The government has very much recognized the importance and the sustainability of economic growth based on cleaner energy. I don't think it's a rhetoric.
Walking around the campus, there's an obvious smog across the city. Talking with students as they relax near the lake within the sprawling campus, and they'll tell you how conditions appear to have improved during the last year. But there's clearly a long way to go. As you get out of Beijing, China's clean energy agenda becomes more obvious. Landing in the northern province of Ningxia, there are wind turbines that seem to go for as far as the eye can see. This region is at the heart of the government's Go West campaign. It's an effort to develop central and western China to lure people away from the heavily populated east coast. Everything here feels new. In the space of 20 years, once quiet one-road villages have been transformed into modern cities sporting GDP growth above the national average. Paddocks are filled with solar panels and contribute to the energy mix. It's a home to uber-modern facilities which sit in mini-suburbs. The administrator of one of these suburbs is Hao Jianxin. He hopes this new technology will help drive a resurgence in textile processing.
So the government wanted to move to the west, so to boost the local economy, but at the same time, you know, to upgrade the technology. And that's why, you know, we have this, you know, sort of, you know, state-of-the-art facility here. And also, Ningxia has its advantages, you know, in terms of land use and, you know, resources like, you know, coal and energy, you know, a lot of, you know, other, you know, factors, you know, also played in Go West move for the textile sector.
Cotton from Australia's largest irrigated farm, the now Chinese-owned Cubby Station, is expected to start coming here within the next year. Inside these facilities, the Australian-grown cotton will be transformed into clothing and thread. Hao Jianxin, again through a translator.
So the majority of the power will come from East Ningxia power base, where, you know, a lot of thermal coal power generators are from. But we also have wind electricity and also, you know, solar-powered electricity.
While the central government might be celebrating a move away from coal, it's not necessarily a case for celebration in Ningxia, a region that sits on top of China's fifth largest coal reserve.
As a coal-rich province, we're actually not moving away from, you know, coal mining and, you know, the coal sector. We're actually embracing it. Right now, we are building one of the largest in the coal industrial center in eastern part of Ningxia, in Shizuishan City. And that's one, you know, it's huge, it's massive. And we are trying to make it, you know, complete, you know, sector. So actually we are, you know, we still think, you know, coal mining is, you know, the pillar industry in this province. And we try to use, you know, better technology to develop it more.
Hao Liu Hu is one of the chief economic planners with the Ningxia provincial government. Speaking through a translator, he's adamant his province's future lies in coal.
Let me just simply say, I have my faith in green technology. See from the general picture, you know, China's, you know, energy structure is still very much, you know, dependent on coal. Coal, you know, takes up like 60% of the all energy use. So we do think that, you know, this is not going to change in the short term. What we want to do is we want to, you know, maximize, you know, the economic value of coal, or while, you know, minimize the environmental impacts, you know, from this, you know, dirty resource.
It seems the further you get from Beijing, the more government officials are willing to speak, particularly when they don't align with the central government. But Professor Tao isn't surprised by this. She says it's to be expected that China's regional provinces will have a different priority when it comes to coal.
China is a very large country, and the regional disparity or uneven development is a very important feature of Chinese economy. So different localities, different regions might have a different economic strengths and different, if you like, different economic models to work for. If we talk about macroeconomic development, certainly we want to shift to some extent away from an investment-led growth to a consumption-led growth. But investment, nonetheless, is still very important. It plays a very important role in our economic development effort.